Welcome to the In Touch podcast with Charles Stanley for Monday, July 22nd. It's been said that it takes more strength to let go than to hold on. Discover the biblical foundation that lies beneath that statement as we continue the Life Principles series on today's podcast.
God is the source of every good thing that comes our way. Now, some people know how to handle those blessings, and they take good advantage of them and invest their life wisely. Some other people seemingly can't handle it. And what happens is they waste the blessings that God has given to them. Sometimes they hold on so tight that they lose it. Sometimes they just find themselves squandering the very good things that God has sent their way. And oftentimes it happens to people who never intended for it to happen. They thought they knew how to handle the good things of God, but somehow they don't, and they lose them. Now, there is a spiritual principle that says simply this: whatever we hold on to too tightly, we lose. And it's true in every aspect of life. And that's what I want to talk about in this message. And I want you to turn, if you will, to the 12th chapter of Luke. And here is a parable that Jesus gave, and here is a principle that every person should take advantage of and remember carefully, because it affects every single one of us. So, beginning in this 13th verse of the 12th chapter, here's what the scripture says. Someone in the crowd said to him, speaking of Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbitrator over you?" Then he said to them, "Beware and be on your guard against every form of greed, for not even when one has an abundance does his life consist of his possessions." And then he told them this parable. He said, "The land of a rich man was very productive, and he began reasoning to himself, saying, 'What shall I do, since I have no place to store my crops?' Then he said, 'This is what I will do. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years to come. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your soul is required of you. And now who will own what you have prepared? So is the man, or the woman, who stores up treasures for himself or herself and is not rich toward God.'" This is a parable that God gave as a warning. The person who lives their life and ignores God in the process and lives their life only thinking of themselves and not anyone else and removing God out of the equation is a fool. Now think about this. If you're one of those persons who's living your life without God and you say, "You know, I don't need all this and I can handle it," the Bible says you're a fool. And the other part of what's going to happen here is the person who lives that kind of life loses. So look to see for just a moment what this man says. How many times he says in these three verses, "I" and "my"? Look at this, beginning in verse 17. So he says, "What shall I do since I have no place to store my crops?" Then he said, "This is what I will do. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grains and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years to come. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry." It's very evident his life is wrapped up in himself. I and my. And you think about a lot of people that you know. Is it not true that their life is wrapped up in themselves and what they're going to do and what they're going to have and where they're headed and how much they have and what they're going to accumulate and all the rest? God says if that's the way you're living the life of a fool, you're going to lose. Now, there are two things this man forgot. And if you'll notice here, it's very evident. One of them is he made this mistake. He never saw anybody beyond himself. It was all about what I have and me and what I'm going to do with what I have. First mistake, he never looked beyond himself. And secondly, and big mistake, he never looked beyond this life to the life to come. When a person lives that kind of life, the Bible says they're a fool. He gained more and more and more, but he couldn't handle it. And what he began to do was this. He made a decision. When he had more than he could handle and had to tear down his old barns and build larger barns so he could take the blessings of God, that's when he should have made a decision. He made a decision, but he made the wrong decision. And the wrong decision was this. He made a decision to keep it all for himself. He could have made the decision, my barns are full and they're running over. It's time for me to share with other people and begin to be a giver of the blessings of God. But he was centered on himself. It was all about him and not anything about God. You see, how much is enough anyway? The Romans had, they had a proverb that said, money is like seawater. The more you drink, the thirstier you become. And how many people do you know? You know, well, I got to have a little bit more. Well, this is where I am, but if I just had a little bit more. And when you get a little bit more, you got to have a little bit more and more and more and more. And I've never heard anybody say, well, I've accumulated and accumulated. I have enough now. Stop right there. It's always a little bit more. Then they take risk to gain a little bit more. And if you'll notice and think about it, here's what happens. The more they have, the more their anxiety level rises. Because the more they have, the more they worry about how they're going to keep it. And they begin to be concerned about how much more can I have? What am I going to do? You see, it's a trap. And the reason it's a trap is because they're violating a simple principle of God. Whatever I hold on to tightly, I'm going to lose. And that covers just about every aspect of life that you and I could think about. And so if you'll notice what he says here, he says, I'm concerned about my barns, my grain, my goods. And then finally he says, I will say to my soul. He puts that last. And he talks about these years he has to live and take his ease with good and make pleasure and making merry. And all this accumulation and all these plans, what does that have to do with living a godly life? Now, you may be saying, well, you know what? I've got plenty, and I am accumulating, and I'm not concerned about the future. So I want us to think about this whole idea, this principle here that's so clearly given here, because this man made a terrible mistake, and his mistake was the grip upon with which he held the blessings of God, things that God had given him more than he needed, so he could have shared them with people who were in desperate need. So ask yourself this question. Is there anything in your life that you have a dead grip on? Something that you absolutely are not going to let go? Something that, you know, you've worked hard for it, you've got it, it's yours. Or maybe something of some other nature. You've got it, and you have a grip on it, and you're not going to let it go, and it's just something very, very important to you. So I want us to think about some of those possibilities, because you could say very easily, well, I'm not a wealthy person. And so because I'm not a wealthy person, this doesn't apply to me. Well, let's think about some other things that people grip. One of them is relationships. Now, if you want to destroy a good relationship, here's how you do it. You just tighten your hold on that person, on their emotions, on what they do, how they look, how they dress, what they do, what they would not do, and where they go or would not go. Because you see, if you begin to smother somebody in a relationship, very soon thereafter, they're going to begin to pull away. And usually if you have tightened your grip on that person, they're not only just going to pull away, they're going to pull away totally. Because no one likes to forsake totally their freedom and be in anybody's grip. If you want to destroy a relationship, you just grip it and hold on tightly. Then I think about also how people hold on to their goals. Instead of asking God, how do you want me to spend my life? These are the goals I believe you want me to have. And so once they decide what their goals are in life, not having asked God about it, they just grip it. Here's what I'm going to do. Here's what I'm going to accomplish. Here's how I'm going after it. And they grip it and grip it and grip it, and it controls their life. Remember this. This man's problem was his priorities. This man's problem was what dominated his thinking. What dominated his thinking was not the will of the Father. And it's a phrase in this verse I want you to notice here, beginning in verse 17, because Jesus had just started the parable, and he said, the land of a rich man was very productive. Watch this. This was one of his big mistakes. He began reasoning to himself, saying, what shall I do, and so forth. Instead of reasoning with God, instead of trusting God, he began to reason with himself, here's what I'm going to do. And then sometimes a person can hold on to their past. One of the most destructive things you can do is to grip a past, especially if in that past there is unforgiveness, there's bitterness, there's resentment, there are attitudes and feelings in your life in the past, things that have happened to you. You still hold on. You just can't let it go. You can't let your animosity go. You can't let go of what someone has done against you and how they've mistreated you. And we get mail all the time, people saying, here's what's going on in my life and how am I to respond to this? And oftentimes willing to admit that they're angry, bitter, hostile, and oftentimes want to do someone harm. If you live gripping the past, you're going to lose your whole future. God did not intend that in your life. And then sometimes a person wants to hold on to old hurts. Well, here's what they did to me. And if they had done that to you, you'd feel the same way. Not necessarily. We've all been hurt about things. But you can't hold on to hurts. You surrender those hurts. You surrender those difficulties and those problems and heartaches and things that have happened in your past. You can't live with that. You live in the past. You're going to miss the future. You're going to miss God's best. And you're going to spend your life taking out these bad feelings on other people who probably moved on in life, and they don't even know that you're feeling what you're feeling. But many people can't let go of the grip. And here's what I've noticed. Over the years, I've seen people who couldn't let go. Here's what happens. It shows eventually on their face. The grip is there. They cannot let go. They lose their joy. They lose their sense of happiness and peace. And there's a second place it shows. It shows in their health. You cannot live in the past. You cannot grip something in your emotions that is not of God and expect it not to have its consequence. It's devastating. I've watched it happen to people's health. In other words, people who were in good health, but they just couldn't let go. You see it in their countenance. You begin to see it in their body. And before long, it has taken its toll in their human body. You cannot violate the principles of God without consequence. And then sometimes it's wrong ideas about things. And you know, this is what I believe about it, and that's it. And I think about people who have wrong theological beliefs. Well, this is what my father believed. This is what my mother believed. This is what I'm going to believe. I don't care what you say. This is it. They grip error and not even realizing that they're living in error and gripping error because somebody else believed it and somebody else held on to it. What we should always be asking is, what does the Word of God say? There's not a single question that cannot be answered in the Word of God. Somebody says, well, I know one. What is it? The Bible doesn't have an answer to this. Is when is Jesus coming back? There is an answer. Jesus said, only the Father knows. That's his answer. There is always an answer. There are wrong ideas, wrong attitudes, wrong perceptions of situations. For example, let's say that you and your family have a little situation going on, and you have a little argument among you, and somebody's whole perception is that they're being left out. Everybody's against me, and so what happens? Then you just create problems. And I want to say to you again and again and again, this whole perspective here is, here's what happens whenever you leave God out and you begin to reason only with yourself about any issue in your life and you leave him out, it's going to cost you. Because old human nature thinks the worst oftentimes, takes the wrong attitude, and makes wrong decisions. Sometimes one of those things we hold on to, and probably all of us have been guilty of this, is timing. Have you ever given God a time limit? Well, I've been praying about this thing for 6 weeks. God, if you don't answer this in 6 weeks, it's all over. I'm going to do what I think I ought to do because I've given you long enough. Now, let me ask you, don't you think it's foolish to tell the originator of time what he must and what he must not do according to your timing. Well, God is under no obligation whatsoever to meet my schedule. He's under obligation to meet his schedule. If I fit, fine. If I don't fit, then I suffer the consequence. Ask yourself the question, what are you holding on to? Sometimes it's something very valuable in your life. And when I say, for example, holding on to it, I'm simply meaning this. It has your attention. And if I should ask you, what do you think about in any given day above everything else? Is it something that you own? I asked in the first service, what is the most valuable thing in your life? And the fellow sitting on the front row said, my wife. Well, now, he was honest, and they both laughed, of course, and she almost kissed him right there in front of everybody. But he said, my wife. So I asked the question, suppose you lose your wife. Then what's the most valuable thing in your life? Well, my children, my son and my daughter. Suppose you lost your son. Well, I guess the next thing would be my house. Suppose you lose it. Or my fine automobile. Suppose you lose that. Well, I guess I could lose my job. You could lose your job. Suppose you lose that. What do you have? Do you know what the most valuable, tangible thing in your life is? The most valuable thing that you possess is the Word of God. This is it. Now watch this. What's in this book is the only thing you're going to take when you die. Jewels, money, houses, lands, crops, stock, barns, all of those things, you're going to leave every bit of it with you. Have you ever been to a funeral and they open the casket and there is this gentleman or this woman and it's loaded with $100 bills? Oh, it's got diamonds over here and stock certificates and deeds. Have you ever seen a casket like that? No? You know why? Not going to take anything with you. The most valuable thing that you possess is the Word of God. Because not only do you possess it as a book, but it's in your heart, in your life as a believer. You're a child of God. Listen, your eternal salvation's wrapped up in what that book says. Your hope of eternal life. The blessings and the promises of God are all wrapped up in what is stated in the Word of God. So you ask yourself the question, what is the one thing in life that you should treasure above everything else? Listen, watch this. Somebody can burn your house down. Somebody can steal your diamonds. Somebody could kidnap your child or your wife. In other words, you can lose it all. Can't lose this. Listen, it's the most valuable thing. Now, if this man... if this farmer had reasoned with God, he wouldn't have been building more barns. He'd have been giving it away. But the Bible says he reasoned with himself. And that's exactly what people do. Well, now here's what I think. And they'll make decisions based on human knowledge, human understanding, and based on the world's ways. And the world's way today is you better accumulate all you can because the economy we have, it's just a mess. It's getting worse all the time. You could end up on poverty row if you're not careful. Well, without God, a lot of things can happen. And the question is, where do I place him in my life? In other words, what's the real source of liberty? The real source of freedom is not in a government. The real source of freedom is a relationship to Jesus Christ. And Paul was very strong about freedom and liberty. Our liberty that comes in knowing Christ Jesus as our Savior.
Thank you for listening to Holding Too Tightly. If you'd like to know more about Charles Stanley or In Touch Ministries, stop by intouch.org. This podcast is a presentation of In Touch Ministries, Atlanta, Georgia.